This podcast is intended for mature audiences.
It also contains two British people talking about sex.
Oh.
Oh. Why do you always start with oh?
Bar humbug.
I'm back. Hello,
and welcome to the Teabags and Joysticks podcast, the kinky video game podcast. I am Si.
And I'm Chris.
How are we, Chris?
Good.
It's Christmas.
Merry Christmas?
Not quite.
But you can still say Merry Christmas, but it's not Christmas.
I guess. It's Christmas Eve when this goes up, so.
Yeah. Close enough. That's just like as close as you can get to without it actually being Christmas.
Oh, yeah. I don't know, man. Like, Christmas is a weird one for me every year because it's just like, I'm never in the mood for it until it comes along. And then, like, on the day, I'm like, hey, it's Christmas. And then it's just like, after that, it's just like, why is everyone still, like, we've had the food and... I don't know. I'm a weird Scrooge when it comes to Christmas right up until the day.
Well... I mean, yeah, I can be quite Christmassy, like until the day, and then after Christmas Day itself, I'm like, yeah, I'm done.
My thing is, I just want snow, goddammit. If it snowed like in a couple of days beforehand, and we had like proper snow, the way we used to get when we were kids, like where you'd go out and the snow drip, your snow dress would be as big as you were. I'm showing my age here.
Nah, no chance.
Oh, but it is Christmas, so what we thought is we would have a little bit of a lighter episode to round out the year with.
Yeah, last year we made up a silly song.
Yes, we did. And honestly, this year we were going to, but I ran out of time. Because, like, do you know what song I was going to try and do this year, did I tell you?
Were you going to do Silence Night or something? No, the first Noel.
The first Noel.
Yeah, the first Noel.
The
yeah,
first Noel, the boy did scream. That's like as far as I got.
Oh, okay. Okay. Still quite a long way to go there.
I just ran out of time this year. That did not happen this year.
All right, so something to look forward to next year.
Yeah, we'll try again next Christmas. Have you been playing Whamageddon?
Well,
do you know what Whamageddon is?
I do know what Whamageddon is.
Do you want to explain what Whamageddon is for our listeners?
Isn't that the... Well, it's obviously to do with Last Christmas by Wham.
Yep.
And I think it's... you attempt to not hear the song for as long as possible
while exposing others to it if you're feeling particularly evil. Because the idea is you play it with a group of friends. And so there's a group of friends that I know, and we play it every year. And it's just like, as soon as one of us hears it, we text the other ones. It's just like, I've been whammed. I've managed to avoid it so far. This is the furthest I've ever got. And like, just for context, we are recording this on the 17th.
On the 17th of December.
So like, this is the furthest I've ever got without hearing it.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, if you stay at home all the time...
I haven't been, though. I've been running around getting jobs and things done.
No, true.
But I've somehow managed to avoid it. I'm quite happy.
I was thinking, well, if it was last year, it wouldn't have been that impressive.
Okay, all right. Well, you say that. The number of TV shows and things that put Christmas tunes in...
Yeah, but do you watch TV?
That's beside the point. But anyway, shall we carry on forward into the tea, Chris?
Tea, yes. So tea today, I bring you news that the French Parliament has voted to ban... so-called conversion therapy.
Woohoo! Nice.
What I didn't realize was the number of countries who have actually banned this practice.
Mm-hmm.
As in how few there are.
Yeah, it's kind of surprising when you look into it.
Yeah.
Like how accepted it is. And it's good to see that it's starting to gain traction to ban these things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it's the next page of the gay agenda. Like, once we ban the conversion therapy, then we can start. Then we can start. Once they can no longer convert people back.
Yeah, converting only goes one way. Yes, that's yeah. No,
and for all the homophobes and turf listening, my tongue could not be planted further in my cheek if I tried.
Any guesses on the number of countries who have banned conversion therapy?
I want to say it's in the teens, but I don't know exactly. I know it's not as high as it should be.
Mm-hmm. So France is the seventh country.
Is that all?
Do it. Yes, that is all.
Wow, I thought that was... Like, obviously, I thought that was much higher. Like, I thought it was, like, in the teens. I thought it was in, like, the mid-teens.
Yeah, no, France is the seventh country to have officially signed it into law.
Goddamn.
And there are 11 other countries, only 11 other countries, proposing such law.
Wow, okay. Maybe that's where I got the teens from, because that'd be 18 altogether, but wow.
Yeah.
Damn, I didn't realize it was that low. Okay.
Nah.
Shall we move on to slightly happier news, though?
Just being yourself is good. Well, France letting people be themselves, that's fantastic.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well done, France.
It's about the only time we'll say, well done, France. I apologize to our French listeners. Shall I move us on to something slightly more upbeat, though?
Okay.
I don't know if you've seen this story or not, but have you seen anything to do with the promotion of the new Matrix movie?
No.
Okay. So, as part of the new Matrix movie, obviously they've started doing like the whole interview tour, and you've got Carrie Ann Moss, Keanu Reeves going around doing all these joint interviews and everything else. The Verge had an interview with Carrie Ann Moss and Keanu Reeves, where someone asked Keanu Reeves his opinion of NFTs.
Okay.
And I'm just going to play you a short extract of that.
Right. Okay.
Like in the first few hours, because there were over 300,000 people in the queue trying to buy these NFTs for $50. And so like when you think about the concept of digital scarcity and things that are, you know, they can't be copied.
That are easily reproduced.
Well, but they're not the same, right? It's not.
So just to be clear for our listeners, that little like high-pitched, cheeky like giggle that you hear there, that's Keanu Reeves' response.
Yeah.
And I love this. I absolutely love this. This is giving me life right now. And it, like, he full on sort of doubles over and gives this high pitched belly laugh just after he's told, like, this is the whole thing about like digital ownership of things that can't be copied, and Keanu Reeves turns around and goes, they can be reproduced.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm loving this because it's just like, this is just the perfect response to NFTs. It's like, so hang on a minute, it's just like, You're making a thing and selling this money for something that someone can just make, like, really?
Yeah, yeah. Basically, yeah.
And this is, like, this is actually closer to our subject matter than you might think, because there's been this whole thing about, oh, X video game's coming out and it's going to allow you to make these NFTs. And it's like, really, guys? Like... Has the industry not already been brought close enough to being out and out ripped apart because of its gambling as it is? I mean, a certain company that will not be named on our podcast turned around and released a video saying they were going to start implementing NFTs and then had to remove it because it got review bombed that quickly. And it's just this is just giving me life right now. Like Keanu Reeves, like the face of the Matrix, just sitting there and laughing in the face of the idea of this. What, in my opinion, and I must stress this is my opinion, is a digital scam.
Yes. Like, I can understand like smaller independent guys like trying to do such a thing.
I can't.
I don't understand why people buy it. I can understand why they do it. Yeah.
It's always that thing, isn't it, of like, if someone's out there and they're making their money, you've kind of got to respect the hustle, but at the same time, seriously? But my thing is, like, I can't really get behind it, because at the end of the day, like, okay, so NFTs to me are the equivalent of someone trying to sell the London Bridge. That's the way that I view it, because you have as much ownership over it as you would have over the London Bridge, quite frankly.
Yeah.
And I think it's actually a little bit scary from an intellectual property side of things, because in the grand scheme of things, NFTs don't confer any ownership. But at some point, someone's going to end up taking like a court case or something on it. You know it's going to happen eventually. And it's going to be fascinating, but also scary to sit there and see whether a judge lends any credence to it. Because as it is right now, it doesn't have any. And I say this, and just like I'm going to put out here as well, because the whole thing with NFTs is such a weird thing.
Oh yeah.
I'm not an expert in this field at all, and I need to make that damn clear. And what I am saying here is entirely my opinion, and in no way any sort of advice for finances, etc. Because the thing is, like, you could argue it's a digital asset. I don't necessarily think it is, personally, because to me it's just a figmentitious thing, but...
Yeah.
There's that much money being moved in these things, I don't know. So, you know, it's not advice. It's not anything like that. Do your own damn research. My thing is, it ain't for me.
I thought it were good to have something like, I don't know, positive for Christmas.
Okay, well, no, but come on, like... Okay.
No, sorry. Okay.
I see what you're saying. But can we just take one moment and just listen to the joy in that little laugh again? Because, come on.
Okay.
Well, but they're not the same.
I think there's something joyous in that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
And if you've not seen this clip, I highly encourage people to go and find this clip because it's doing its rounds on the internet. Literally just search for Keanu Reeves NFT laugh and you will find it, because the expression on his face just makes it all that much better.
He knows what's going
on. Oh god, he knows what's going on.
Yeah. So tune in next week when we try to sell NFTs for the podcast T-Pass and Joysticks.
Now available on blockchain. It's not, it will never be, let's be very clear about that. I have, like, from my standpoint, as well as one of this duo, I have no intention of letting us go anywhere near it unless it becomes an actual damn thing that's recognised somewhere and isn't just choking the planet. No. It's not fucking true. Shall we move on?
Yeah. I think it's time.
I think it's time. It is Christmas Eve as this goes out. And, you know, shall we have a rustle in Santa's bag?
Sure. What's in Santa's bag?
Today? Well, is it some... I saw Daddy kissing Santa Claus. Why has nobody done a gender flipped version of that yet? Why has nobody done a gay version of that yet?
It's too weird a song.
I mean, yeah, but aren't most Christmas songs?
Yeah.
I still maintain, like, the most dirty Christmas song out there is White Christmas. Chris's face right now. Chris is just giving me this look that he gives me as if to go, really? This again?
All right, so what are we doing?
So, we are doing a little party game, basically. Right. We figured that since this was the Christmas episode, that we would do something a little more lighthearted, because we know, like, as much as, like, everyone enjoys a bit of kink and everyone enjoys a bit of, you know, naughtiness and the usual topics that we cover. Yeah. We figured that since this is a Christmas episode and, you know, there's going to be people that, you know, can't be with family, etc., whether that's COVID, whether that's life, etc., you know, we thought we'd do something a little bit daft, a little bit of something that can sort of be played along with at home, I guess.
Really? Okay. Like, I would love to hear what you do with the game. Like, your responses to the game.
Oh, I would love to hear people's responses to this. Yeah. Because I've heard, like, a few friends talking about previous times that we've done the list episodes, and hearing some of their, like, responses to things is just brilliant. So, do you want to explain what the rules are going to be this time, Chris?
Okay, so this is what we're going to attempt, right? So, we have the list. We randomly roll a kink and a character from geek culture. Read out to the other co-hosts and try to blag your way to say why this combination is Christmassy. And let's say we have, I don't know, 3 minutes? Two and a half minutes?
Oh, wow. Okay, we're going to put timers on blag. This. Okay, I didn't know we were on a time limit.
I don't know. We don't have to. We don't have to do that.
No, I'm good with this. I just didn't. I wasn't prepared for this, but sure. Why not? So, who's going first? Should we flip coin for it?
Sure.
Heads or tails?
Heads.
Hey, Google, flip a coin.
It's heads.
Would you like to go first or second? It's heads.
I'll go first.
You go first. Sure. Okay. So, your first one is, as I randomize a list, and just to be clear for everyone, like, this is just a list of random kinks and a list of random characters from pop culture. Oh, I feel like this one's too easy, but okay, this is what you rolled. Feeding or gainer play with Bowser.
Okay, so Bowser is very, very green, so that's Christmassy, just like a Christmas tree. And obviously, feeder, gainer, well, Santa himself is very much a gainer, right?
Is he?
Or you can become more like Santa, and therefore that's Christmassy. And everyone eats a lot of food at Christmas anyway, so that's basically the whole Christmas festive period is just a gainer's
paradise
dream. Yeah.
You say, okay, so you got that in like 30 seconds, but like you went the long way around this. You went the very long way around this. Because you know what my response to that would have been? I wouldn't have even gone down the whole, oh, well, Bowser is green and that's festive, or the Santa Claus route. I would have just sat there and gone, Christmas dinner. It's like, is there anyone who doesn't have, like, the full Christmas dinner and doesn't sit there afterwards absolutely stuffed out of the goddamn minds?
That's the whole point of this game. Like, you blank your way through.
But there's
You talk absolute nonsense until something sticks.
You went the long way around the houses on that one. Go on then, roll mine. Let's see what happens.
Okay, so it's a soggy biscuit with Captain Picard.
Oh, okay. Ooh, I don't know how I feel about this one for one. But okay. So, wait. Okay, so here's where we're going to go with this. A gingerbread is essentially just a cookie or biscuit, depending on what side of the pond you're from. Okay? Yeah. So therefore, this is Christmassy because we're going to do it using a gingerbread house. That immediately makes it Christmassy because that's the time of year that you make them.
Okay. So you know, the cum is just frosting.
Yes. Let's go with that. Let's boldly go where no man has gone before and say that cum is frosting. Oh, I always get squeamish over that one, and I don't even know why. I don't know what it is, but there's like, I think it's just like a weird kind of like childhood trauma memory in there somewhere, of like hearing about this and going, oh.
Say it again.
You're going to sound clip that, aren't you?
Yeah. We're part of our soundboard, mate.
Oh, my word. Fair enough. Well, so far we're 2 for 2, and we've got them both within like a minute, so...
Yeah, like, this is going well.
So your next one will be... wait, hold on a minute, because it's thinking about it. There we go. Ooh, okay. Cook holding with Mario.
Cook holding with Mario. Ooh. I need more details than that.
Nope. Cook holding with Mario.
So is Mario is the ball?
Yes.
I take? Okay. Cock holding is it's like a family get together like you do at Christmas. Yes.
Wait, hold on. What? I feel like this is entering into a very strange territory right now. Where is this going, Chris?
Well, it's like a family get together. What, like? You know, family, like, people come together at Christmas. That's what cuckolding is. No.
No. You've burnt a minute. No, nothing.
Mario's red. Like, he can be wearing a Santa. Might as well be wearing a Santa's outfit.
Okay.
Mario wears a lot of red stuff. He's got a beard like Santa, yes.
I would say Mario's beard is nothing like Santa. But
Santa has a beard. and cuckolding is, well...
So I'm going to press you to wrap this up somehow, because you've clearly had your time at this point. Or do we give in? Because I'm not willing to give it you yet. Three, two, one.
I'm not getting this.
See, I know what my response to that would have been, and you really overcomplicated this.
Right.
Because realistically, it's only the kink that you've got to get Christmassy. Because from there, you can make the rest of it fall in.
Sure, okay.
I'm not going to tell you what my answer to that would have been in case cuckolding comes up again. Like, if you remind me, I will tell you what it was at the end of the session.
Yep, all right. So let us know.
So we are one all.
Let us know, right? Right, you're and I'm going to roll a dice, and that'll tell me how many times I click the randomize button.
Fair enough.
8, okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Sharing a double-ended dildo with Crash Bandicoot.
Jesus Christ, that's a... Okay, can I pause my timer just for 1 second and go, oh my god, why? But okay, I know how I do this. So, right. A double-ended dildo is essentially, at its core, just a single long rod, yes?
Yes.
Okay, what rod-like things do you get at Christmas? Well, you get candy canes, but candy canes are bent rods, yes?
Yeah.
Crash Bandicoot spins really fast. You share a double-ended dildo with Crash Bandicoot. He spins really fast. It becomes a bent one, and it's red and white and stripy, etc., like a candy cane. That's how you make it Christmassy.
Okay.
That's my answer.
Okay. Okay.
You sure?
Yeah. Right. Yes!
Yeah.
2-1. Let's go. I really want to see what some people at home come up with for this, because this is silly.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. Okay, so your next one is going to be foot worship with the Winter Soldier.
Well, the Winter Soldier clearly is Christmassy. He's all the Winter Soldier. It's in the winter.
Right, go on.
Foot worship, okay. I mean, firstly, I wouldn't complain about that scene at all.
To be fair, the guy's hot. I can't deny that one. But the question is not would you enjoy it, it's how do you make this Christmas?
Well, I don't know. Dip your foot into some mulled wine or something. Will that work?
I feel like I shouldn't give you this one. But I can't deny that would make it Christmassy. And it's not really any worse than Craig saying about how a certain boot polish makes the boots taste like smoky bacon last week. So you know what? I'll give you that one. On a technicality, I will give you that one.
I don't know how else you would make foot worship Christmassy.
Well, that's easy.
Because it's not even boot
worship.
That's
easy. Right? You do it outside foot. In the snow. I'm going to give you that one on a technicality.
And also, you know, Winter Soldier is Christmassy by name.
Yeah, but I feel like that's a cop out.
All right. Okay, just one. Okay. So, flogging with Master Chief.
Flogging with Master Chief. See, all I can think of right now is the new Halo has the grapple hook in it. Also, nobody yeah. wants to get no one wants to get whipped by a Spartan, because have you seen how no. strong they're meant to be?
No.
What are you doing on that ship, Master Chief? Flogging the Covenant back. No, okay. So I don't know. I really don't. The only thing that's coming to mind is the Halo from Halo is right, like an okay. angel's halo.
Okay.
And you're getting flogged on the winter area on Assault of the Control Room. And that's Christmassy because snow and halos? I don't know.
I do know this one. But
no, I'm gonna have okay. to concede that one, because beyond the Halo thing, I've got nothing.
Like an angel's Halo. Right.
What did you get for that? I'm curious now.
You're back even now. Okay, flogging is like, it's like flogging reindeers.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. Bit of pony play. Okay. Yep.
Yeah.
Fair enough. That's fair. Yep. So we're back even at 2-2 now. Fair enough. So your next one will be... Ooh! And I'm going to preface this and say, you are not allowed to say because of who's involved.
Okay.
You have to find a way to make it Christmassy beyond who's involved.
Right, okay.
Gunge play with Santa Claus.
Oh, wow. Like, yeah, obviously, because of who you're involved, that means like there's no effort whatsoever.
Exactly.
Gunchplay. How is Gunchplay Christmassy? Well, the gunch could be very colourful, like in all the Christmassy colours of red and green.
Okay.
You can put Christmassy sweets inside the gunch.
Yeah. Okay. This is fair.
Yeah.
This isn't the direction I'd have gone, but this is fair.
How else? How else you would do it?
I mean, I would have gone in the direction again. Because I'm going to give you this one because, like, yeah, I'm happy that you've satisfied this one.
Yeah.
But I would have gone in the direction again of, like, the Christmas dinner thing because you've got, like, the eggnog and you've got, like, the gravy and you've got, like, the cranberry sauce and you've got, like, all the, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's the direction I would have gone. But I'll be satisfied with Christmas colours. I'll give you that one.
Christmas colours and Christmas sweets. That's how we do a Christmassy gunch. Right, roll the dice again. Oh, I've got once an eight. Okay, eight. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You're going to have furry sex with Professor Mirror from Pokemon Snap.
Stantler.
Yes.
That's all I need to say to that. Okay. Stantler.
Okay.
Yep. No, that one's too easy. Just like, the fursona is a Stantler. Yeah. Because the Stantler is a reindeer Pokemon, and that's self-explanatory.
Yes. Yeah. If you don't know Pokemon, yeah, that's where Stantler is.
Do I get that one? Are we all even at that?
Oh yeah, yeah, easy.
So your next one is, and we'll do two more each just to make sure that we're not running this too long. Will be muscle worship with Yoda.
What?
Muscle worship with Yoda.
Where's Yoda's muscles come from?
Not my problem to work that out. Muscle worship with Yoda. No one said Yoda had to be the one doing the muscle worship. Sorry, no one said Yoda was the one who had to be worshipped, sorry.
I mean, after Christmas dinner, you have to have a, you know, post-meal workout, haven't you? Because you've eaten too much.
I'm sorry, do you know me?
No. Yeah, no one
me,
does that.
Me,
but,
who's
you know,
been paying for a gym membership and not been for 2 months, do you know me?
Anyway, post-Christmas dinner workout, and that's where all the sweat has come from. And
now you need to go
worship the muscles.
Who are you? Who the hell?
I know. No one does that. Literally, no one does that.
I don't even know if I should give you this one. Because I don't know a single, even the most dedicated bodybuilder that I have known over the years did not do a post-Christmas dinner workout, Chris.
No, I know. Like, again, this is the point of the game where you just blag your way through absolute nonsense. Okay, is there a better
yes.
one?
Yes! You put Yoda muscle in an elf outfit!
Okay.
He's the right goddamn size.
Okay. Fair enough.
Fucking post-Christmas dinner.
Fair enough.
I'll give it you on the technicality that you made it a thing, but You know what? You know what? Since you've said this, I'm going to give you a task on air right now that post-Christmas dinner, you have to go and do a workout and give me the evidence.
That's not going to happen. That is just not going to happen.
Yes, it is, boy. I'm giving you the task.
Anyway, two... One, two.
Oh boy, he's giving me that mail, look.
Cloth mail, nude mail.
Okay.
With Zagreus Hades.
Ooh. Do I get to choose which way around this is?
Oh yeah, yeah, sure.
Zagreus has been a very naughty boy and needs a good spanking across daddy's lap. Across daddy Santa's lap. I will wear the Santa hat and everything. Just to be clear, Zagreus is the naked one in this scenario.
Yeah, yeah, I guess that.
Yeah.
Guess that. Broke out of hell too many times.
Broke out of hell on Christmas. And then I get to have my way. Are we happy that that one covers the base?
Yeah. I'll give you that.
So, last one for you, then, is going to be... Oh, this one's fun. Nipple torture.
Sure.
With Dr. Octopus.
I mean, okay, Dr.
And Octopus just for clarity, so we know which one we're talking about, because there's been like various games and things with octopuses now. We're talking Spider-Man Dr. Octopus.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, Dr. Octopus has got all the clamps anyway, so you can just do nipple torture quite easily. But in terms of making a Christmas scene, then you attach bells to the nipple clamps.
That's exactly where I was going to go with this.
Yeah, there you go.
Just ding, 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 ding,
ding. Yeah.
He's got enough arms. Ding, 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 ding. Oh, God. I need someone to do it. I need someone to Photoshop this or something with Alfred Molina. It doesn't even have to be, like, a nipple clamp scene or anything else. I just need someone to, like, video edit Alfred Molina's Doc Octopus with handbells in each claw. Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, no.
Oh, I love it.
Right, so your last one. Guys. Six. One, two, three, four, five, six. You've got small dick humiliation with Mace Windu.
I mean, have you seen that lightsaber? Here's the problem. It's been that long since I saw those Star Wars movies, yeah, because we pretend they don't exist, that I don't remember much of Samuel L. Jackson's characterization of the character.
Yeah.
And I never read any of the comics or anything. I don't know how to make this Christmassy.
Why did we put him in on the list?
I don't, because we just put a number of pop culture characters in the list. I genuinely don't know how to make this Christmassy.
Do you want another character?
I mean, I'm going to feel like I'm cheating, so I will declare at that point that, like, I lost the game to you by 1 point. We're on, what, 5-4 or something like that? But sure, throw me another character, because I don't know enough with that character to be able to try and twist that one.
Who was counting anyway? Skyrim's Dragonborn? That's not any better.
No, I can work with that one.
Okay.
Can I work with that one? I think I can work with that one. I don't know if this will be appropriately Christmassy enough.
Okay.
But the Dragonborn takes you up into the mountains, so there's snow, and snow happens at Christmas traditionally here and is associated with Christmas, so there's your tenuous, treacherous link. And the reason it's particularly small with Bina's humiliation is because it's snow, so everything shrinks and they're exposing you. And they're the fucking Dragonborn, so of course they're hung like a fucking bull.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know beyond that.
Yeah, I would go with that. Like, yeah, my first thoughts when Smarter Humiliation came out was snow. Yeah.
Snow. Yeah, but how do you do snow and Mace Windu, Chris? Because in my head I'm running, how can I work snow in? How can I work So you won that one because there was no way I could do Mace Windu. Although it does make me wonder, like, imagine the whole Jedi mind trick thing was real. It's like, do you think you could use it in a scene to, like, your penis is small? Like, even though some guys just like penis.
Well, that would be something. Yeah.
it's just like hypnosis, but skipping out all the trancing and stuff, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, that was brilliant. So you won that one, what, 5-4, did we say it was?
Maybe. Like, who was counting anyway?
Oh, I like that one. Like, we need to do that again with all the holidays. Like, Easter will be a good one to bring this back. That will be good fun.
Just keep lagging.
Excuse me. But since we've had a rummage in Santa's sack, shall we move forward slightly and talk about a little bit of, festive TV, I guess?
Sure.
Because, yeah. Like, maybe we don't. We've just, at this point, like, literally a day or so ago, had the Hawkeye finale, and the Hawkeye season is Christmassy, so let's do a 5-minute Marvel. So, that was a thing.
Yeah.
Hawkeye finale, anyone?
Hawkeye finale, yeah. Not very Christmassy, but Christmassy enough, I guess. Like, that's probably...
I thought it was really nice Christmas-wise. It actually kind of got me in the mood more.
I mean, it was probably, as people would say, as Christmassy as Die Hard, which is quite Christmassy, but yeah, not overly.
I'm okay with this.
Like,
We said from the first teasers, this is going to be Die Hard in the Marvel Universe.
Exactly. And that's fine.
And it basically is.
Yeah, that's fine. And I was satisfied.
I mostly was.
Hmm.
So, I don't like what they did with Fisk.
Well, that he's not dead.
But this is the thing, you see, because it's heavily implied he is, and it's, do they pick up that thread or not?
Well, Echo has got her own series, so that is going to be the scene they pick up from, right? And she's going to fire a gun, but completely miss Fisk deliberately. That's
hopefully,
my prediction.
I don't know. Like, it's weird. I know we've also got Daredevil coming back in theory.
Yeah.
So maybe.
Yeah, a lot of Kingpin. Like, potential
I liked what they did with Yelena.
Yeah.
My only problem with what they did with Yelena is I struggle to see her putting up with as much of Kate's bullshit as she did.
Oh. Yeah.
Also, can we just talk for a moment about the fact that apparently Kate Bishop doesn't observe the laws of gravity as long as she's got a couple of balls on a string?
Yeah, I don't know how she managed to slow herself down with those balls.
Neither do I. You know, and there was no untangling either, which if she'd just done what she would have done, the friction in there would have been the thing, and then immediately throws them up. Okay, whatever.
Yeah.
I liked the comic book classic costumes, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the costumes were good. Like, obviously, they were in the promotion, so we knew they were going to wear them.
We did, but the way that they came about, I love the way that they did that for Clint's.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh my god, you wore it! But yeah, overall, I think it was a satisfying ending.
Yeah, it was a pretty typical Marvel like final episode kind of ending, which is fine for most parts.
So the thing with the Marvel TV is they can never massively change the MCU.
No.
In terms of what's shown on film, because you've got people that aren't going to see them.
Oh, absolutely.
However, I like that Kate ended up going back to the Bartons.
Mm-hmm.
The Agent 19 Mockingbird reveal, yeah, which a lot of people called ahead, but that was really well done.
Yeah, that was good.
That's one of those, if you know, you know.
Oh, exactly. I mean, everybody would recognize the S.H.I.E.L.D. logo regardless.
Well, yeah. But is this what you do? Turn your mother into jail on Christmas? It's like, yeah, bitch, that you kind of brought this one on yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
What am I supposed to do? My biggest problem with the entire episode is a tiny thing.
Right.
There was a slight continuity error.
Right.
Because you go from Kate firing an arrow at Fisk and Fisk walking towards her, to suddenly Kate's mother is running him over with a car, and she doesn't have time enough to get to the car, start it up, get that speed and everything else. Like, clearly, my take on this is originally there was meant to be a scene put there, or the order of the final scenes just behind it was slightly different.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I got the impression they were meant to imply that Kate had been fighting Fisk for a bit longer.
Yeah, I agree.
That's the only thing I had a problem with this entire... Well, apart from the physics thing, but
I don't forgive that, it's a comic book. I don't really care.
Yeah. I loved the fact they brought the LARPers back. I loved the LARPers. Oh, yeah, we're basically Avengers.
I love the LARPers. The LARPers are amazing.
But the first time they came in, I was dubious. By the end of it, I loved them.
Yeah. And let's talk about a post-credit scene. A few people were disappointed with not having a post-credit scene, essentially. There's no teaser.
No, I'm sorry. That made my little music theatre kid heart sing. As bad as it was. It was bad. I'm sorry. It was trash, but it made me sing. I mean, it's stuck in my head. It's good.
Excelsior!
So, we've had a rummage in Santa's sack. We have decided that, there's various ways that we can pervert pop culture characters into Christmas scenes.
Of course we can.
We've sat down.
You can pick anything Christmassy.
We've sat down after the Christmas meal and watch the TV, and then it's on to the games as we move on to the joystick, Chris.
Yes.
So what's on your joystick this Christmas week?
Right, I want to talk about this game called Unpacking.
Ooh, okay. So disclosure. I have watched this game. I haven't played it.
Mm.
So, please go on.
Have you watched it all the way through?
Because I haven't decided if I want to play it yet.
Fair enough. So, Unpacking is kind of a very, very chilled game, and the whole premise is you have just moved into a house. Mm-hmm. Or a flat, or whatever the place you are living in at a particular time. And you get a whole load of cardboard boxes and you unpack them. And you put them onto shelves, you put them onto your bed, under your bed, wherever.
And this is done from like an isometric view with like... What would you say the art style is? Because it's like, it's not pixel art, but it's kind of got that feel to it.
Yeah, it's kind of deliberately low resolution.
It wouldn't feel out of place on a Game Boy. In terms of the art style. The gameplay, I think, would feel a bit weird on a Game Boy, but like the art style.
Oh no, gameplay will feel completely out of place on a Game Boy. But yeah, you don't see any of the characters, you don't interact with anyone. Mm-hmm. All you do is you take things out from a cardboard box, put them somewhere inside the room.
And there's some areas have more than one room as well, don't they? Because I know some of them have a bathroom and a living room, etc.
Yeah. Basically, you can unpack into the rooms that you have got control of. Like, later in the game, you know, you basically have the whole house.
Yep.
And you move once you unpack the whole thing, then you know you move on to the next time this character moves out again, or have anything to unpack. Yep. Basically, they don't necessarily move house.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that bit.
Yeah, and each time you unpack something, it tells the story from there. Mm-hmm. It's very good storytelling without any storytelling.
Yeah, it's one of those weird games, isn't it? Because, like I said, I've watched a couple of YouTubers play this, mm-hmm. and it's so you never talk with anyone. No. In fact, there's no dialogue in the game as far as I've seen.
There is only, like, after you have completely unpacked the place, you take a photograph and there is just one line of caption at the bottom.
Oh, okay, because I haven't even seen the captions.
Right. You can take a picture of each room and on each room you get a different caption.
Oh, okay. But yeah, you do get this feel for kind of who this person is that you're,
yeah,
like playing as, I guess.
Yeah, you kind of have a feel of what she likes, what the interest is, and sometimes it's really subtle. And you can, if you look back, you can find the clues have always been there.
Oh, okay,
and that is really fascinating.
Because I've only seen maybe the first, I want to say, two or three levels. Mm-hmm. Ish.
Yeah.
And there's definitely you get a feel, and that's deliberate that I've only seen those first two or three. Mm-hmm. And you definitely get a feel for, or at least start to get a feel from what I've seen of who this person is and what the environment around them is socially, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like you start at your parents' house. I think it's not a massive spoiler to say, you start the game at your parents' house as a child, and then you move on to uni.
Yeah, and you're kind of going through life.
Going through life, and I will stop the spoilers from here. And
would you say it's an emotional game? Because I've heard a few people who have like played it through say to me that it's, well, just not necessarily to me, but say sort of, that it's, for the right person, it's a game that will get you sort of in the emotions of sort of what you pick out of it.
Okay, I think it could be. Yeah, it could be emotional. It wasn't particularly for me.
Okay.
You find out a lot about this character.
Right.
Yeah, just through the stuff that she has.
Interesting. This is one of those titles that, like, I would say to someone, kind of, go and watch the first level on YouTube, just to get an idea of whether it's the sort of game that you would prefer to engage with, or if it's the sort of game that you would prefer to kind of sit back and watch as someone goes through. Because I think it's one of those games that's sort of an either-or type thing. Like, you know how we've said before, there's some games that, like, you would rather sit back and watch someone play through to get the story, but it wouldn't necessarily be your kind of gameplay. I feel like this is one of those games.
Yeah. To be fair, I have finished the game and gone back to watch other YouTubers or Switch players play it.
Mm-hmm.
I like how they might have different interpretations to me. And how they have also found some, I'm talking about the subtle clues that I've talked about, they have found some clues that I didn't.
Okay, so it might be one of those games that's worth doing both with anyway.
Yeah.
But if you're going, if you think it's going to be the gameplay that you like play the game after you've seen that first bit.
Yeah, sure. Because there are some items that you didn't really look close enough and you just put them away.
Mm.
And you would have missed a clue, but someone else would have noticed it.
Okay.
And there's,
fair enough. Because this is a little indie title, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, so this is a little indie title. I'm intrigued, and I think from what you've said, it's probably one that I'll sit down and play.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So that's been my joystick. What's on yours? Have you been playing Halo?
Yeah, I think it's going to come as no surprise to anybody that on my joystick this week is Halo. Like, I know it's not a particularly Christmassy game or anything like that, but like the campaign released about a week and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I have played a lot of that game. Yeah. That game completely ruined my sleep cycle for a couple of nights.
Oh, right.
But yeah, I have played a lot of the Halo campaign. And once again, apart from the things I hate, I really enjoy it. So I have been very vocal on here before to say that 343 lost me when it came to Halo. And that what they'd done with the story and where they'd taken the story really had basically alienated me from the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
They did a lot of work to undo it.
Okay. Good to hear.
And they did it in a way that mostly, not perfectly, but mostly makes sense. And there's some interesting fan service in there for whatever period of Halo you joined in.
Fair enough.
So, like, slight spoiler territory here. There are little... they are cutscenes in the traditional sense, but they're almost like mini vignettes of flashbacks, almost. Mm. That really go back into some of the deep lore of Halo. That goes back into, like, some of the earliest books of Halo. Like, stuff that existed before Microsoft kind of made it its own studio and everything else.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's kind of fascinating to see that voice acted and to see that play out on screen and everything else.
Okay.
And it's... The story is good. Like, there's some things I really wish they'd fleshed out in other ways. There's some things that are absolutely phenomenal. Like, they do a lot of the lifting of trying to explain how you went from the end of Halo 5 into Infinite through these kind of vignettes and through voice logs and things, which is just...
Fair enough.
Like, some of it is really good and some of it you just kind of sit there and went, yeah, this was a bit weird, wasn't it? And I was saying this to a friend the other night. It's like, it's almost an admission by 343 that they had written themselves into a hole with the way that Halo 5 ended. And there's things that I'm not going to give away what they do, but there's things that they do, which is almost a very clear admission of, yeah, we put ourselves in a position that we couldn't easily write out of, so we had to find a way to wipe the slate clean.
Mm.
And they do it remarkably successfully.
Okay.
There's choices I don't necessarily agree with, but that's always going to be my thing with
Halo. That is Halo. Always like, be the case.
That has been my thing with Halo the entire way through. Even back when Bungie was running it, there was things I didn't agree with.
Yeah, obviously you can't agree with everything.
Exactly. Right? And you
know, that's never going to happen.
And for as big of a geek as I was, like, for Halo back in the day, like, I used to read all of the extended books. I used to read all of the sort of, like, if it had Halo on it, chances are I either owned it, read it, or watched it, you know? And so that's always been my thing with Halo. I think they've done a remarkable job of salvaging it.
Cool.
They leave the story in a position that I'm curious to see what happens next, which is nice to feel that way again about Halo.
So you think there are DLCs coming?
Oh, we know there's DLC coming.
You think there are more story campaigns?
We know that there's more story campaign. 343 have already come out and gone. The intention is for Infinite to be a 10-year platform.
Whoa, yeah. Really? Okay.
Or at least, if I remember correctly, that's what they said. They have uttered before that, like, 343 want Infinite to kind of be the springing board for the next couple of things. There's no new Halo games as such due for at least the next, like, 5-6 years, as I understand it.
Okay.
And there's things they set up that, like, I'd be surprised if they don't try and pay it off.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And the interesting thing is, the way that they've done it, they don't have to stay with Master Chief.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you get into some of the extended lore stuff that's in voice logs and things, there's absolutely ways they could tell other stories without using the Master Chief if they wanted to. So I think they've really actually made a good opportunity there. One interesting thing is, and this is kind of an indictment of the multiplayer, I think, the weapon sandbox makes so much more sense in the campaign than it does in the multiplayer.
Oh.
But I'm also going to put this gripe out, which is a minor spoiler. What the fuck were they doing with the multiplayer? Because there is evidence of some of the areas in campaign that would make amazing, and I do mean absolutely amazing, multiplayer maps for small teams or free-for-all type objectives that are fairly late in the game. And anyone who's got there will know exactly what I'm referring to. Like, there's these little kind of, like, very kind of cut-off areas that when you get there, you look around, it's like, this feels like a multiplayer map.
Fair enough.
But it never made it to multiplayer. And it's not like we don't have a history of Halo using, like, single-player locations in the multiplayer. Just for some reason, they didn't pull them over.
I mean, they can still do that, right? They can still add maps.
They can still do that, and I hope that they do. Like, maybe an excuse could be made of, hey, we didn't want to do this because spoilers. Okay, fine. But book your ideas up and get it in there fairly quick if you're going to do it.
they can add stuff in.
I hope so.
As you say, if it's a 10-year platform, then there is a lot of opportunities to still add things in.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah, I wouldn't say it's not going to happen.
But yeah, that's my joystick for this week. Like, literally that came out and I played it. Like, so it's been my tradition that when a new Halo game releases, like, it's basically I clear my schedule for 2 days, because the first day, like, usually it would release at midnight. So usually it would be a case of, like, okay, the first day I am going to stay up, I am going to play this game from the moment it drops to the moment I finish. And I don't mean finish playing, I mean finish the campaign.
Yeah.
I couldn't do that this time. The size of the campaign meant I could not do that this time. And I didn't stop to do that much in terms of, like, side questing and things, because it's open world. Like, I did kind of the bare minimum.
Yeah.
And I still had 18 hours of gameplay.
That's big.
That's an impressive... That's really big for Halo. Yeah, and I was playing on Heroic. I've always played Halo on Heroic because I've been playing it that long.
Yeah, okay.
It's an impressive length for a game. And, you know, if I wasn't me in the way that I am with Halo, I would still be sort of making my way through everything right now. But as it is, I've kind of gone a little bit OTT with it, but...
Yeah, okay. Meanwhile, I'm playing on easy.
Well, there's no way to change your difficulty once you've got going, so...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go.
But yeah, so that's what's on my joystick. And that's not going to be a surprise to anyone who's followed the podcast for any length of time.
Exactly,
like, I have said multiple times, like, Halo is one of those games that I was looking forward to coming out because it looked like they were going in the right direction. They went in the right direction. It's not flawless. I have problems with it, but they went in the right direction.
Nice. Okay. So?
With that said, I think we're at the end of the show, Chris.
I think that is our Christmas show.
Indeed. There is a little bit of housekeeping for us to do.
Mm-hmm.
We will be taking a mid-season break until, the middle of January? So, you know, this will be our last show for a little bit longer than normal. Like, we're just going to take a Christmas holiday. Because we don't want to be recording between Christmas and New Year, guys. Because that's what it would mean if we tried to keep the normal schedule. Expect us sometime around, I don't know, let's say third week of January or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
We'll keep you updated on our socials. We are, however, going to put out one bonus little micro episode thing, I guess, which will be like, that's going to be our 5-minute Marvel, which I think we're going to put out, next week?
Basically New Year's Eve.
Yeah, basically New Year's Eve. And that will be our take on Spider-Man No Way Home.
Yes.
And that's just purely because we don't want to wait so long to talk about it.
Exactly, yeah.
So, hey, we'll record it.
Wait till the middle of January to talk about it? No way.
Just have a little mini bonus episode for New Year's Eve. But with that said, we hope that you are happy and well. We hope this finds you well.
Yes.
We know Christmas can be a hard time, but hopefully we have given you a bit of a laugh today. If people wish to find us, Chris, where can they find us?
Yes, you can find us on social media at DVNJ Podcast. And you know what's coming? You can find our Linktree, which is linktr.ee/TVNJ Podcast. And also, if you want to leave us a voice message, tell us how you would do to making all the kinks Christmassy, you can leave us a voice message at anchor.fm/TBNJ podcast.
Indeed. But from our family to yours, or wherever you may be, Merry Christmas. Happy Merry holidays Christmas. If you don't celebrate Christmas, and have a happy and safe new year. Thank you very much for joining us, and we shall see you in the new year. Goodbye.
Bye. This episode is edited by TVNJ Chris. Our soundboard comprises royalty-free audio. The opening and ending music is Quarter Conundrum by DOAK. Thank you for listening to Teabags and Joysticks.